Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, forever and ever. Amen. Good evening to everyone. For those of you who are joining us for Slutho for the first time, we take this opportunity to welcome you. Let us especially take this opportunity to thank God Almighty for giving us this opportunity to come together in His presence this evening, especially as we prepare for our meditation upon Scriptures this evening. I'm going to ask for those of you who have your Bibles with you to open up your Bibles to this past Sunday's Gospel reading and reflection, which is from St. John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Again, that's the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. We'll begin with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know, and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" I know this is an intense moment this evening for many of us as we look across the United States today. It is quite the scene. Many of you, I'm sure, have been watching or possibly are still watching the State of the Union address from President Barack Obama. Or many of you may be trying to keep warm or safe, especially during the winter storms, the frigid cold weather, as well as the icy and snow conditions that have hit much of the south and the southeast portions of the United States. We remember you all in our prayers and hope that you are safe and sound this evening. I chose this passage for reflection as we have just read it this past Sunday in all of our churches. And as we continue through the theme of divine presence, and especially as we follow the feast of our Lord's baptism, we are continuing to hear some of the teachings of our Lord. And this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus is one of my favorite passages in the Holy Gospel. There's so much that we can learn from a simple conversation that Jesus has with one of his followers. For those of you who might not know, we have to kind of begin in the context of who Nicodemus is and what he was trying to achieve by asking Christ this question. One of the first things that I want to remind everybody is that at this point, there is really no Christian community that has been formally established. Most of the community that Jesus is encountering is still part of the Jewish community. And Nicodemus, as a teacher, as one of the leaders of that community, is the one who is coming and approaching Christ and asking him this question. So one of the first things that we have to put in mind and put into perspective is that when the gospel writer presents Nicodemus, He writes that he comes to Jesus at night. And many of you probably may not consider this to be of significance, but the use of the word at night is quite significant here in this passage. So he could have easily, St. John could have easily just written, Nicodemus came to Jesus and asked him a question. But it was more. It was more of the specifics writing in detail. And when we look at Nicodemus, he represents a community that in some ways was living in darkness. And the question that he asks God and the way he approaches Christ, there are both some good things and there are both some bad things as well. He approaches Jesus and the words that he says are, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. I want to analyze that verse. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So Nicodemus represented a Jewish community. And when we look at this specific words that were spoken by Nicodemus, the first thing he does is he acknowledges Jesus as a rabbi, as a teacher. And he acknowledges him not only as a rabbi or teacher, but as a teacher who comes from God. Because he and the people of that community realized that the signs and the things that were happening was done by no one else other than God. So when we look at this passage, especially specific to this portion, I want to remind everyone that when we come with Christ, or when we come to Christ, we often represent a community. A lot of times we approach Christ with our prayers and our requests, and we have to realize that we represent a whole community. We don't come to Christ as an individual. Rather, we come to Christ representing an entire community. I wanted to kind of highlight here in this portion especially, if you begin to see that the Jewish community was expecting the Messiah. They were expecting a leader to come. And we see that specifically in view of what is happening here. See, the Jewish people awaiting and expecting a Messiah, they were looking for someone who was going to do some of these special signs, who was going to be the one to be like a king or come in the glory of a king or going to be the one that was going to save them and so on and so forth. They had some expectations. They had some things that they were awaiting. But here specifically, even though Nicodemus was able to identify Christ as a teacher, as a rabbi, and someone who comes from God, although he had all of these good things and what he recognized in Christ, there was one thing that was still missing, and that was he was unable to identify Jesus as God himself. Many of the people during that time, including Nicodemus, were only able to recognize Jesus early on in his ministry as just one among the prophets. They knew there was something special about him. They knew that there was something significant, but they could not identify that he was the Son of God and that he is God himself. So in order to be able to see that, a lot of times we have to be able to move out of our moments of darkness and bring us into the light. And what do I mean by that? See, each and every one of us who are on this line today, we are part of a community. We represent a community. I'll give you an example in my own life. I recently started working as a social worker for the state of Kansas. And when I work for the state of Kansas as a social worker, I am always required to wear a badge that identifies myself. And when I act in that capacity, I am one who represents the governor and the state of Kansas, wherever I go. Specifically when I am on duty. So we were joking around at our workplace this past week because we were talking about many of us, we all get our state vehicles to drive in. And in those state vehicles,
many times people will drive out to visit homes or go to offices and so on and so forth. So a couple of people may think that, oh, if I speed, since the state license plate is on there, the cops probably won't catch me and they'll probably be okay. But of course, some people have tested it out and ended up getting tickets. But one of the downfalls of that is if you receive a ticket in a state car, not only do you have to pay the fine and the fees associated with it, but you also have to write a letter to the governor of Kansas apologizing for receiving this ticket, because you, as an employee of the state, represent a community. You represent the governor and all of the laws in the state of Kansas. And by breaking that, you have now broken part of that relationship with that community. And so you owe an apology. And I begin to think about our own lives and how we belong to communities, a Christian community, an Orthodox Christian community. And we are, in a sense, obligated to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And in this level of being a community and having trust with one another and being a part of one another, we have to remind ourselves that when we go out into the world, we represent all of what Christianity is all about. Not just portions of the gospel, or not just parts of what Christ teaches, or not just what we choose to follow. There is a gospel that is given to us, and there is a life that was shown to us as an example, and we represent Him who is Christ Jesus. So wherever it is that you are, whether it be at your workplace, whether it be at school, whether it be on the playground, whether it be in your own home, whether it be out into the grocery stores or wherever it is that you go, always remind yourself that you represent a community. And always be mindful that everything that we do, our actions, our words, our thoughts, everything, is representative of that community that we belong to, which is as Orthodox Christians. I don't want to highlight too many portions of this gospel, but I wanted to bring that first aspect and the second one, that here in this passage we see that Jesus gives a new requirement, saying that one must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. What I wanted to focus on was not to say that simply that we must be born again. All of us who are on this line, I'm sure, have been born again and have experienced the spiritual rebirth that comes through our holy baptism. But I would challenge each and every one of us to think about being born anew. See, one of the things that happens with Christians is, especially in our battles, in our combats with people of other denominations, we always say, yes, we're born again. We were baptized as infants, and we belong to the church, and we take great pride in that. But one of the things we have to remember is that baptism was only our initiation. But every day for us requires renewal of that baptismal covenant. If we are not born anew, there is no kingdom. And quite frankly, we cannot afford to lose the kingdom. Each and every one of us is responsible to be born anew. And what does that mean? It means to be able to recognize our weakness, to constantly seek to cleanse ourselves, to purify ourselves, to make ourselves better. And there has to be that willingness from within that causes us to strive forward towards Christ. As I reminded you, each and every one of us, we are not alone in our Christian walk. We belong to a community. When we put ourselves into the perspective of being a part of a community, we will begin to see and recognize that there is much that we all can do, not just as individuals to be born anew, but what can we do as a community to be born anew and alive in Christ? This speaks volumes to our churches, our youth groups, our ministries, our spiritual organizations. Everything as part of our church should and must have an experience of being born anew. We cannot be satisfied in who we are or what we do or what we have become, because there is always room for improvement and growth in our daily life. I leave you with this reflection, and I hope and pray that as Nicodemus encountered the Lord and was able to be taught by Him and changed, and later we know the experience that Nicodemus had and what he was able to do in terms of Christ, his burial, and all of those things that later come on with the passion and the death and the resurrection of Christ. There was that experience that Nicodemus had. What was our experience of coming from death into life with Christ? It happened on our baptismal day, but there is an experience of that that we must renew every single day in our walk with Christ. And I hope that we are able to do that, especially as we continue through this new year. And just as you might have heard the State of the Union address given by President Obama, the whole point is renewal, getting everyone together, the community coming back together, and being able to stand as one. And I hope that we, as an Orthodox Christian church community, can be a model example of what that means for society and for the world today. May all glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen.